Morning, everybody. You guys turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 16. A few things. I'm really thankful for Larry Miller. Just thinking about a couple years ago and what Larry went through and him keeping a great attitude. You know, he was talking about Rich. Remember, Larry was a great example through that, and it's good to have Larry where he is now. And just thankful to the Lord, the way that he continues to work through our lives. Appreciate you, Larry. So thank you. Couple things about the public reading. I do like the courage of Micaiah. You know, in the beginning, everybody tells him, hey, speak everything that, you know, everybody's had favorable words of the king, so we want you to go be favorable too. And so he says, hey, whatever the Lord says, I'm going to say it. And the king asks him, he says, yep, go on up. And you can, I'm not a big fan of sarcasm, but I can hear Micaiah's sarcasm in this one. Yeah, go on up. You're going to win. Have at it. Have fun. It's like, how many times did I tell you? Tell the truth. Okay, you want the truth? Here it is. And he told him the truth. And I like the repercussions. Hey, go and, you know, lock this guy up and feed him sparingly with bread and water till I return safely. Micaiah says, if you come back, everybody knows God didn't speak by me. Parting words, King, you ain't coming back. And no matter how much people try to trick God, you know, hey, I got to, and Jehoshaphat, as much as I like him, what a not so smart guy. You know, Ahab, hey, why don't you dress up as, you know, you make sure you wear your kingly robes and I'm going to fly under the radar. I mean, how dumb can you be to be allied with Ahab in the first place and then to take his advice on, you know, I like Jehoshaphat, I really do, but this is just, get suckered. But you know what? Bottom line is still, God had said what was going to happen to Ahab, and it happened. Some random arrow, that's God's will, going to be done. God says something, that's the way it's going to go down. And there's no change in that. And I'm thankful for that, you guys. You have absolute confidence on that. All right, Romans chapter 16. I was going to say stuff about the stewardship and Lord's Supper, but I think I might have a longer message today, and potluck's going back there, and it's 11:06, so let's go. Romans 16, verse 20. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet.
Hallelujah.
The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Lord, we praise your great name. It's been mentioned so much this morning, but our words cannot express to you our awe of who you are. Lord, the fact that you brought this world into existence by the word of your power, that you hold it together by your word. Father, the great things that you have done for us, we're mindful of those and we thank you. We cannot thank you enough. Father, the reality of it is that each one of us finds ourselves in the midst of this intense spiritual war. And it is relentless, never ending. Sometimes, Lord, we even go home from the day with our tail tucked between our legs. Sometimes we see our fellow soldiers placed in spiritual body bags. And we can wonder. And we can start to lose a little bit of hope. But Father, you have promised, and I'm thankful for what you have said here. The promise that you will soon crush Satan under our feet. Lord, we love you. We look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, our King. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly to each of us. Lord, we would believe what you have said. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 12. You know, what I'm going to key in on today, last week I got through the God of peace. And I intended to preached the rest of this message last week, but I'm really glad I didn't get to. Because today I can just key in on the God of peace going to crush Satan under his feet. Crushing Satan is really what this message is about today. But I think before we, it seems a little bit on the surface, like the God of peace, he's going to crush Satan. That doesn't sound like a very peaceful God, is what a lot of people would say. But I don't care, just in simple terms, I don't care how you stack it up. When you got that bully out there that is continually doing stuff to everybody else, at some point someone got to step up and pop that bully in the mouth. You got to knock them down and tell them no more. You cannot have peace without that. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read the whole thing. Beginning in verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who's called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil's come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And the 2 wings of the great eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." I don't have time to spend too much on this today, but I want you to just consider with me for a moment Satan, the supernatural evil. Scripture, I don't have time to explain all of this from Revelation chapter 12 today, but there was war in heaven. Like, you think about the audacity of Satan to be in the presence of God, to see God in all of his glory, and Satan wanted that power. For Satan to take that and to scheme and to try to figure out to take that which was God's. This is the source of evil that we are dealing with. War in heaven, and it says that a third of the stars of heaven, when throughout the book of Revelation, these stars represent angels. And it says his angels with him. That's where we get, and I think it's reasonable, he took a third of the angels with him. Bottom line, guys, is there is a war on earth because they're first was war in heaven. And what we see played out before us here is a result, a manifestation of that spiritual war. And so understand something. What we talked about peace last time, we're talking about spiritual peace. When we're talking about war, we're talking about spiritual war. All the wars of this world where millions of people die, it's a result. It is something that is a physical manifestation of actually the spiritual war. And we gotta wrap our minds around what this really is. So Satan goes on to wage war against the woman. I'm just gonna throw this out for free. That's the church. Satan can't wage war, can't win against the church. He knows that. He knows he only has a short time. So then he turns his attention to the offspring. That means to you and me. Kevin Sinton says somebody gets immersed into Christ. Hey, you get it. You do get a new name in Christ, but you also get something new. You get a target on your back. And that's the truth. Satan's goal. He cannot beat the church, but he knows he has a chance at you individually. And that's where he turns his attention. This is, no offense to Grizzly fans, but he is a bad news bear. He is the devil, the dragon of old. You know, Scripture talks about him in many ways. The word Satan actually means adversary. And he is no minor adversary. The devil. Devil means slanderer. He is the accuser of the brethren. As a side note, guys, the most devilish thing you can do is slander your brethren. That comes straight from hell. He's the tempter. He gets his hooks out there in the flesh and pulls you in from that. That is, you know, I think sometimes about God being the deliverer, and my mind says, that's who he is. That's what he is. That's his job, and he's good at it. The devil is called the tempter. That's his job. And he's good at it. He's crafty. You read Genesis, first part of Genesis, and he's the craftiest of all. You think you're going to outsmart the devil? Oh, they're going to burn you. He's scheming. Scripture tells us a few times in the New Testament, hey, stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We're not ignorant of his schemes. He's tricky. He got a plan. He's a strategist. Scripture calls him a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Everything that is good, the devil wants to go in and to mess it up, to bring destruction, to go in and to rip out your soul. That's his goal. Deceiver. The father of lies. Devil never. You want to sit down at the table with the devil, and you want to make deals with him? He's a liar. He oversells passing pleasures of sin. He underdelivers. And more than that, he actually uses bait and switch tactics. You want to sign a peace treaty with him? I'm not going to get into politics right now. I wanted to. You want to sign a peace treaty with him? You will be a slave forever. I think about this in your own life, guys. The Scripture calls him the evil one, the God of this world. You know, all of us are born innocent. We're all born. You know, we have these babies, and they're crying, and I love it. I'm glad I'm don't have to take them home at night anymore. But I love it. It's great. Innocent children. We start out in fellowship with God, and then Satan goes to work, like everywhere around us. Hey, we know, not going to preach Adam's fall and all of that, but from that time forward, come into a world where sin is normal. Sin is rampant. It's everywhere. And Satan starts chipping away. And then at some point, the scriptural record is everybody has sinned. Anybody who comes, I'm just going to say this, to an adult level of maturity, sin and falls short of the glory of God. And once sin has come to the human heart, there's no amount of effort, nothing you can do to overcome that. So Satan has you. I think about, it's like, I'm not much of a UFC guy, but I understand the principle. Cage fighting, right? You throw him in the cage. Guys, the world is Satan's cage. This is his domain, and he's going to take you, and he's going to play with you. And then he's going to mess with you, and then he's going to get you in the chokehold, and you will either pass out or you will submit. That is the way he works. Every single person. The record of Satan against the human is billions. He's undefeated except for once, and I'm not talking about that yet. You want to take the devil on? You know how it's going to end. And every one of us, we're honest, we've experienced it. Guys, I don't like to lose. And I've lost too many times to the devil. I hate the devil. He is ruthless, evil. Puts the chokehold on you, forces you into submission, and then he pounds you down over and over and over again. Humiliates you. It's like the ultimate abusive relationship. You cannot get away. Just the evil we're talking about. You ever start to get up? Here. It says, let me show you something. It replays every single time that he's beat you. Watch this. And he shows you all the times that he kicked your rear end, and then he does it again. Absolutely hopeless. The God of this world. I said before, I hate to lose. I think we're all here because we want to win. Amen? We need a champion. I think of Satan as the spiritual version of Goliath. And he stands there and he says, hey, I dare you. You send your best. He says, oh, you know, if you beat me, we'll be your slaves. But if I beat you, you'll be our slaves. Nobody can answer the call. But I'm thankful for Jesus. He heard the challenge. And he answered that call. You know, there's a lot of different things we can say about Jesus. This book tells us who he is. Amazing, awesome in every way. But I like the way 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says it. The Son of God has appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. What did it take to do that? You know, Larry talked about the idea of Jesus, God, coming in the flesh as a baby. And, you know, I don't know. Be interesting, 46 years old, if you were to ask me before I was ever placed in somebody's womb if I would want to do this thing. But if I'm on the throne of glory and you want to send me down to this place where I have to leave all of my advantages, all of my powers, all of my extra strength, I have to come down here as a human and take on Satan billions and never lost once. That's not some... Guys, that's what Jesus did for us. He had to take the devil out on the devil's home turf. He had to be born of woman. He came in the flesh just like you and me. You know, it's interesting because the Scripture says that, but it's amazing, says this, but it's amazing to me how much the disconnect is in the religious world. Do you understand? Jesus came in the flesh just like us. He had to be made like his brethren in all things. And the Scripture says he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. People want to dismiss that. Like somehow, well, he was God, of course he wasn't going to sin. God can't be tempted. No, Jesus left that on the throne, and he came here just like you and me. This was the devil's opportunity. And Jesus said, I'm willing to come down and take that on. You think for a moment, tempted in every single way as we are, and I don't want to add to the Scripture, but I'm just going to say this. In my life, the devil hasn't had to give me his best shot to get me to lose. I mean, I'm pretty convinced of that. Jesus never, ever lost. You know the devil pulled out every single trick, all the stops. He was all in. This was his chance. Jesus got the worst, guys. If there's somebody who understands temptation, it is Jesus the Christ. He said, well, Jesus, you know, he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand what it's like to be addicted. Well, I'll just say this. Fast for 40 days and 40 nights and have somebody offer you some food and say, no, thank you. But apart from that, let's just be honest about this. You know who understands temptations the most? Not people who cave in the easiest. It's people who resist and fight. You know what that is like. The temptation that's relentless and you fight through it. Jesus knows more than any. He's the only one who actually can perfectly understand the totality, the fullness of temptation. Because he's the only one who resisted to the point of death. Jesus took the devil's best shots and he won every single time. He did that for you and he did that for me. Every single thought, Jesus never once let his thought go down the wrong path. Because that's impressive to me. Jesus' words, never did he revile in return. While suffering, he didn't utter any threats. There was no deceit found in Jesus' mouth. That's impressive to me. Jesus never found himself in a war of words where he's just throwing stuff back, being a jerk. That's not who Jesus is. Every single time he won. Every deed of his life was to please the Father. He went to the cross. He paid the price for our sins. Think about this. The one who knew no sin actually became sin on our behalf. I think sometimes about, I stop and consider some of my sins and to think that, like when I did, I put Jesus on the cross. He did that. He took that for me. He took that for you. He became sin on our behalf. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the price in full. Do you guys ever have somebody give you a gift, like a really nice gift, and it's so nice you don't, like you almost like, I can't, how can I accept this? I don't, like you can't say thank you enough, you can't possibly pay for it, so you can't offer to pay for it, you can't, it's like, I don't just, like this blows all of that away. Jesus gave us something that we could work for all of our eternity and never pay off. That debt. And that's not the end. Now he had to descend to Hades. He had to snap the bonds of sin and of death. You want to be saved by works? Okay, you go die. And while they are there, then you raise from the dead and you take up everybody who's been held captive by Satan, all the faithful, and you take them up and you raise them up with you. You want to be saved by works? Try that on for size. Just going to leave that there. That's what Jesus did. This is our champion. Rose from the dead. Led captive a host of captives. Took paradise up with him. Ascended into heaven. And took his seat on the throne. That's champion. He's our deliverer. He's our savior. You know what Romans 16:20 is saying? He has you back. The God of all peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I mentioned this last week. Jesus has brought us peace toward God. He brought us back into fellowship with him. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. I'm not going to have the time to read that. But we've been justified by faith. And I think about justified. I heard it when I was a kid. The guy said this and it always stuck with me. Justified. What's that mean? Just as if I'd never sinned. We've been justified toward God by faith. All the losses that you've ever had against Satan, you know what the devil wants to do? I said before. And guys, he'll do this to you as a Christian. He'd done it to me. You've lost. He wants, hey, let me remind you. Let me remind you as a Christian at the time that I beat you. You know what Jesus does? He burns all those tapes. They're gone. Any loss you've ever had, He nailed that to the cross. It's gone. We are immersed into Christ. We are immersed into His death. Amen? The sinner's died. The loser is buried. Romans 6, 3 through 7. I'll let you guys read that. The loser is buried. Took every one of our failures and nailed them to the cross. Our failures died with Him. Me as a failure died with Him in the waters of immersion. And you know what's really great too? Jesus has given us of His Spirit. And there's a big difference between John's immersion and Jesus' immersion. John's immersion took care of the past. It was an immersion of repentance for forgiveness of sins. But you know what? If you're going up from the Jordan and you sin, you're right back in there under that. Guys, God's given us of His Spirit to renew us. Today is a clean slate for you and me as a Christian if we want that. The renewing power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what that does? It frees you up to be able to win today. Because man, a sure way to lose today is to remember that you lost yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Renewing power today is a clean slate. And Jesus has given us, I think Lorenzo talking about His Word. And like, we have the opportunity to think the way that God thinks. Just given us His Word to remind us of who we are and to strengthen us, to help us learn to think about things, to see things from the right perspective. He's doing His work in our lives, destroying the works of the devil in our lives. You know, here's a challenge, something I've thought about. Almost everybody that claims to be a Christian wants to say, you're never going to be able to overcome sin in your life. You'll never have. I mean, you can strive and you can go for it, but you can never do it. And if you're walking by sight, not by faith, it's pretty easy to fall into. Wow, yeah, you know, failed yesterday. Gonna happen again. You know, I like these ones. You show me one person, I'm going to show you Christ. But I want you to think about this. You're telling me, you want me to believe this book. You want me to believe all those prophecies about Jesus, His death, His resurrection, which I do, by the way, completely, 100%. You want to get into apologetics? We can go there. I'm not going there. I'm just saying we're here. We know. We believe it. But you tell me, you want me to believe that Jesus had the power to take the devil on in every way, to go down into Hades, to raise from the dead, to ascend back to the throne, but you're going to tell me the one thing that Jesus can't do is He can't beat Satan in your life, Luke Wilson. That doesn't make sense, does it? I like what Jared said, because the Lord lives in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the one to remember, right? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Does Jesus somehow lose His power when He comes to dwell inside of this? Because He already showed what's possible in the human body once before, amen? He says you can do this. Now, we got to remember who we are, who Jesus has made us to be. We can't let setbacks finish us off. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, because I know I brought up the Bobcats, but the Cats got absolutely thumped last week by Powerhouse. But one of the things I liked about our coach, afterwards he said, you know, the Cats are finished, picked by the media and the coach and everybody else to finish terrible, and they did way better than that. But then they did get thumped, and that was the end of their season in the playoffs by this Power last week. But the coach said, one of the things we hang our hat on in this program is to have the courage to live our lives as we see ourselves, not as others see us. Amen. And I liked it. I thought, man, I like this coach. I sent the quote to my boys, and Matthew sent me something back. He says, we can hang our hat on this We get the courage to live our lives as Christ sees us, not as others see us. And brother, isn't that what living by faith is? To live your life the way that Christ sees you, not as the world, not as the devil, not as yesterday's you looks at it. To see yourself and to live your life the way that Christ sees us. Man, there's power there. I understand it's a process. Jesus he has to teach us how to win. And sometimes, guys, it's actually in the losses that we got to go back. We got to say, okay, I got to turn to the Lord and really learn how to win. We're in the midst of this. You know, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, how come you didn't flee? Because you didn't resist long enough. Fight him. Doesn't the scripture say that he prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour? Oh, but it doesn't stop there. Resist him firm in your faith. Amen? We've got to trust Christ. We need to remember who's fighting this fight with us. I like Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11. Jeremiah says, "The Lord is with me like a dread champion." You want to talk about the warrior that's taken out? Well, we'll just say, the devil's lost. Jesus is the champion, and he is with us. He bound the strong man, and he's plundered his house. You know, the scripture paints a picture in the book of Colossians of Jesus marching Satan, stripping him naked, putting him in chains. This is the I'm reading in a little bit of what the scripture says, and marching him through the streets of heaven, bound in chains, captive behind him. This is our champion. And then he promises, the Lord will soon crush Satan beneath your feet. You know, the two scriptural examples this makes me think of, you have to go back and look these up if you're not familiar with them. There's a prophecy in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says, talking about Jesus, prophecy of Jesus, he shall crush you, talking to Satan. Jesus shall crush you in the head. You shall bruise him on the heel. The bruise on the heel was when Jesus went to the cross. I've mentioned it before, the Passion of the Christ. There's a picture of, you know, Jesus in the garden and Satan, all this stuff. He's coming, there's a serpent there and turns around and stomps on his head. You know, I would, not that I'm artistic and you'd want me to do the movie, but if I was doing the movie, I put that at the very end, the resurrection. I see him come out of that grave and crush him in the head. If we really go, it's when he takes his seat on the throne, he kicks him out of heaven and he crushes him in the head. That's happened, brethren. It just David took Goliath's sword and chopped his head off. You read, this gives me goosebumps. Go back and read Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Jesus took Satan's own spears. He took his spears from him. And he ripped him open from thigh to neck. This is our Lord. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm wrapping it up here. Did I say wrapping it up or ramping it up? Just getting started. That launch is going to stay. All right. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you've been raised up with Christ, if you haven't, I'm just going to say this for free. If you haven't, Satan's still got you. You don't have a chance. He's going to crush you. But if then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Brethren, Christ has rewritten our past. I like that. He says, you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the one revisionist history that's true. He's changed our future for eternity. You know who you are. If you've been waffling, guys, rise up today. Remember who you are in Christ. Believe today. Today is the day of salvation. If you've been wallowing from your defeats, partake with Christ today in His victory. You can have it today. The way this is under the new covenant, you want it, you can have it today. Today is a clean slate. And I got to say, there's a final victory for which we await. You know, Joshua ended up defeating 5 kings of the Amorites. In Joshua chapter 10, verses 24 through 26, you can go back and read this. But he puts these kings in this cave while he finishes up some other stuff. And then when the battle's all over, he brings these kings out. And Joshua has his men put their feet on these kings' necks. You know, this promise, the Lord will soon crush Satan under your feet. Guys, I've lost to the devil one too many times. I'll just say that. I am excited. I look forward to the day at Christ's return when the faithful, we are the victors, and He comes and He puts Satan's neck under your feet. And He says, you stomp on Him. I'm looking forward to that day. We are Christ's witnesses. Amen. On that final day, like the faithful, God holds us up. He says, through me, these guys lived by faith and they conquered. And there is a final victory. You know, Christ already won the determining battle against Satan. We know that. And He's granting victory right now to His church over the devil, and we can participate that if we choose to do so. But the day is coming, that final victory is going to be won, and Satan's going to be cast in a lake of fire. And I can't wait. I look forward to that day. Everybody's going to recognize the saints as God's fellow conquerors. I'm going to close Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. 11 through 16. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire. Upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brethren, the armies who are with him, you go back a couple chapters, we find out those who are with him, the called, the faithful, the chosen. We are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. The Lord, the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. You know who you are. Let's stand and follow Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your victory. We're thankful for the proof of the resurrection that gives us absolute confidence, Lord. No matter what the seemingly insurmountable odds are against us, we come back and we believe in you. We turn to you, Lord. We know what you are able to do. We know on our own we don't have a chance. But with you, the victory is secure. Lord, strengthen us. Help us to walk as your people. To take today, this day, to in many ways, Father, through the Lord's Supper to reaffirm our covenant with You. To remember, first of all, who You are. Secondly, who You've made us to be. And thirdly, Lord, that You are the one who goes with us everywhere we go. We're excited, Lord. We're thankful for the opportunity. We're appreciative for the challenge. We're going to take the sword of the Spirit and we're going to relentlessly fight for You this week. Lord, we're thankful for Your deliverance. We're thankful for the confidence that You give us. And we look forward to that final day when Satan gets crushed under our feet. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.